Welcome to another exciting episode of Why Your Story.
Welcome.
Yes, welcome, MJ. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Travis.
It is always nice to be seen.
Are you having a great day today?
I am having one of the better days I've had in a long time.
Good. That's good.
Because I just learned that MJ is still in the saddle again.
Woohoo!
We're having a great day. Yep, welcome to Why Your Story, folks. We're back in the saddle again for another exciting episode. And this is brought to you by the beautiful home of SBI Media here in Afton, Wyoming.
And great people here.
They're great people. We love working with them. They do a lot for the community. Grateful to be here. Want to thank our sponsor who provided me with this yummy, yummy drink at Pop Shop today.
I'd like to thank them too, even though I don't have
You don't have
right
your drink
now.
With you.
I know.
I got me a peaches and cream 32 ouncer.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Did they put peach rings in them?
Oh, yeah, peach rings, the
really?
Whole works. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's a bonus. Go get you one, folks. Anyway, we were thankful to have their support. So, well, MJ, what are we. It's just you and I today. We've had all of these guests with us the last several times, and it hasn't been you and I in just a while.
That's true. I had somebody ask me the other day, they were like, how come you haven't been doing some more of your own personal stories? And the reason we even started this podcast is because you and I were talking once, and you were like, yeah, I've got so many crazy stories. I'm like, I've got crazy stories. And then COVID hit, and Dan asked us if we would do a podcast.
He did.
And we said, yep. Okay, we're not sure what we're doing.
People want to hear our dumb stories?
Yeah, exactly. But everybody does have stories. And I think you begin to fall in love with a person and understand their life better when you know their stories.
No question.
So today I think we should do some. I'm going to throw like words out. Have you ever done that with music? You throw a word out and then somebody sings a song?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. It can be sometimes naughty.
So what, you're going to throw a word out.
Uh-huh.
I want to do this first.
Fine.
I want to do this first. You're saying that I just have to throw a word out and you're going to tell me a story about that word?
Uh-huh. Or make something up. Oh, this is scary.
How are we going to know that it's the truth?
Well, we never know that with us.
Okay. Well, that's good. As long as no one has to verify that what I'm saying is the truth.
Okay.
I think we're in good shape.
Good.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with the first word then.
Okay. What's
my favorite word to say on the radio? Poop.
Oh, my head. You do like to say that word.
Code Brown. That's what we say in the ambulance.
Oh, my gosh. Poop. Oh, this would be so embarrassing.
Come on. You got to tell us a story about poop because I could tell like 15 stories. But
I really could too.
Yeah.
I mean, I have that many stories.
Me too.
And it's super embarrassing.
I have this. There are people in the world that are blessed to be able to handle poop.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people in the world that are blessed not to be able to handle it.
Yes.
And I am the latter.
You are. Did you help change diapers?
You know, when it was my own kids,
mm-hmm.
It was just not a problem for me.
Yeah.
It really wasn't.
It's
weird. There were times that they had the complete blowout, you know, up the back,
yeah.
into the hair.
And you're like,
bleh. And I was just like, oh my gosh. But, you know, I struggled through it.
Uh-huh.
There were times that I just, like, turned on the shower and held him in there a little bit.
Or the car wash.
But I got through it, you know, gagged a little bit. But if you were to ask me to, like my wife, we would watch some of my nieces and nephews growing mm-hmm. up, you know. I couldn't. Cannot change my nephew's butt.
It's so weird. It's so weird how other people's kids poop. Is different than your kids.
Oh, well, it is. It's completely the genes are completely
yeah.
wrong.
It's weird. Yeah, I was watching Baby Mac last week and complete I was like, not it. My other grandsons were like, we're not it, and so I ended up doing it, and the whole time I'm like, oh. And especially when they have solid food.
Okay.
Did you just burp?
No, I went bleh.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, so I got to come
like
up
I'm
with
probably
a story
gonna
for
bleh
poop.
When you start telling us a story about poop.
Okay. So many years ago, I had my gallbladder removed. And you know what gallbladders do?
I do know what gallbladders do.
So, you know, and your body can no longer produce bile, you have some problems sometimes after your gallbladder is removed. And so...
But generally speaking, after surgery, you don't have those kind of problems. It's the opposite. You get plugged up. Because it's a lack of poop, MJ.
Okay, that's true. But
I'm not speaking from experience. I'm just saying that opioids, when after surgery, when the doctor puts you on the opioids, they really should be putting you on a stool softener.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, carry on.
Especially if you're really taking a lot.
Yeah.
So this particular year, my husband and I were going to go to a Christmas party with the vice president of the company. And so we went downtown Salt Lake. It was a really snowy night. And I'd probably have my gallbladder out maybe 3 years. And there's just certain things I cannot eat. I can't have salad bar from Sizzler. I can't have...
What does that have to do with anything?
What's the difference, remember?
I know, but what's the difference between the gallbladder or a salad bar from Sizzler and a salad bar from Heggs?
Because they put certain chemicals so the lettuce will not turn brown. So they put certain chemicals on their salad bar.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah. Okay. So there's just certain things I can't eat. Anyway, we went to this fancy hotel, and the restaurant inside the hotel must have used the same chemicals, but I didn't know that. So we have the Christmas party, and I eat the salad, and then the president of the company gets up and starts talking, and my stomach's like, blub, blub.
Blub, blub. Generally speaking, when presidents stand up to talk.
Exactly. That's the best.
Recently, my stomach has been going blip, blip when the president stands up to talk. But we'll talk about that in another podcast. Okay.
So I said, Steve, I've got to go to the restroom. And he's just like, well, you should probably wait until he's all done. And I'm like, I really can't wait. And he's like, well, just, you know. Well, I did wait, but Mother Nature did not. And so.
Where are you at? What place?
I'm at this fancy hotel MJ. In Salt Lake, and we had gone with another couple, remember, the vice president and his wife, and they had this fancy Lincoln. So I get in the elevator, and it's a little late. I'm just saying things have happened. And the whole...
Things have transpired.
Oh, they have. And the whole entire elevator, like, shifts to the other side, except for me. I'm just standing there with tears in my eyes. And the doors finally open, and I'm like, Steve, I'll be back. And so I run into this bathroom, new hotel's bathroom. And I sit down, and it's just not pretty. And there was nobody in there, and there was no toilet paper.
Oh, none. No.
Nada.
Was there a shower?
I needed one. So I took off my pantyhose, threw them away. I can't believe I'm telling this story. And tried to clean up the best I could. Finally, somebody came in and they rolled me like three pieces. And I'm like, I need some more. And so I get dressed, you know, try to wash my hands and do all that stuff. I get to Steve, and he's just like, what took you so long? I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. And so we get into these people's fancy white Lincoln Continental, and we start on the freeway, and without anyone saying anything, three windows went, and the snow's coming through the window. Yeah, I didn't, they never asked us to go again.
I'm regretting my word. I am regretting saying the word poop.
I can't believe I just told that story. I might have to edit that out. Oh, my gosh. But anybody that's been there, done that, they know
how mortified you are.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah.
And well, we're looking for guest speakers to come on and talk about their poop stories.
The problem is I've got a lot of them. I've got a lot of poop. You probably have poop stories. No, I mean, I hope.
I don't know how to answer that.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
I have stories about other people's poop.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't want to talk about that.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Now your turn. I'm going to get a good word.
Easy does it. Nice and easy word.
Okay. How about smoke? Smoke. Sometimes you smoke when you poop.
Let's see. I have never smoked when I was pooping. In fact, honestly, I've never smoked.
I've never smoked.
I never have puffed on a cigarette.
I haven't either.
Puffed on anything.
I haven't either.
Okay, good to know.
I wanted to smoke a cigar once, I remember.
Smoke. Let me think. I'm thinking campfire. I'm thinking cigarettes, cigars. I love the smell of pipe. I love the smell of vanilla hickory pipe stuff.
Yeah, I kind of like that too. Yeah.
I got it. I got a story.
Okay, I'm ready.
So, back in the day, I'm thinking 1978, 79. This is a long time ago. This was pre-something. A long time ago.
Yeah, you were just a little one.
I was a little guy. 3, 4, 5 years old, something like
really?
That. Yep. My dad and his brothers and sister were performing at the Hilton in Las Vegas. And so they were alternating nights with Elvis and Johnny Cash. So
wow.
It would be Johnny Cash and then Elvis, then the Osmonds, then Johnny Cash, Elvis and the Osmonds. And so that's how I got to have all of my cool stories with Elvis and Johnny Cash.
That's cool.
We were all in the same part of the hotel all the time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So this, my mother will probably die remembering this story. But of course, being good parents that my parents were, they taught us at an early age that smoking was bad for you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And being in Las Vegas around the casinos, I'd imagine we saw lots of people smoking.
Yes.
Right? Well,
back then.
Johnny Cash, he was a smoker. Okay.
Right.
Like a freight train smoker.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have this picture in my baby book of Johnny Cash holding me backstage at the Hilton. And my mother tells the story. I don't remember it. I was too young to remember, but
okay.
Apparently Johnny Cash was smoking backstage at the Hilton when he was holding me.
Oh.
And I turned to him and I said, "Smoking is bad for you." My mom said.
Oh, no. That is awesome.
To Johnny Cash.
And what did he say back?
You know, I don't remember, and I doubt my mother would even remember
what he
said back to me.
Did he put the cigarette down, though?
Mm,
or you, Dad?
I think he probably thought, "You're a cute little shit." I can't say that. He probably thought, "I'm going to drop you in the nearest toilet that I see, kid." But
we're rated PG-13
He was,
now.
You know, just talking to my... Just talking to my dad, you know, I was so young. I remember Johnny Cash. Mm-hmm. I don't remember ever interacting with him, you know.
Yeah.
But hearing the song or the stories that my dad tells, what a neat guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I love
his music.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who doesn't love Johnny Cash music?
Exactly.
For real. I mean,
yeah.
What a good guy. What a solid dude. And the impact that he's made over the years. I mean, it's pretty amazing what he's done.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I do. I think for sure. I wonder how old he was back then.
I don't know.
That's pretty
quick. He wasn't
quick
as old as he was
pull that up. Awesome.
A couple years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't relate to the Ring of Fire? Speaking
exactly.
of poop. We got to get off that, MJ.
There is a hot sauce called Ring of Fire. And it's one of Steve's favorites. It's really good.
Well, I can see Steve liking the Ring of Fire.
Yeah.
But that's what they're really referring to, the Ring of Fire. Because when you eat that hot sauce...
They are not.
MJ, I'm not lying to you.
Is this what the words mean?
That's exactly what they mean. Absolutely. That's exactly... Well, I don't know what Johnny Cash was. I doubt he was...
No, I think he was speaking of hell.
I think he was talking about being in trouble. What I think.
Yeah.
But I don't know those things, but I'm just saying. But the hot sauce itself is referring to sitting on the toilet.
Mm.
The Ring of Fire.
Okay.
I promise you, I know these things.
Okay. I trust you.
So anyway, that's my story of smoke.
That is a good one.
Did that fit?
That's good. Good job.
Thank you. Hey, what about this one?
I'm stuck in Folsom Prison. And time keeps dragging on.
There's nobody like him since either.
I love the bass in this song. Just like that 1960s round wound strings. Just awesome.
Yeah.
All right, let's carry on. We're getting sidetracked here. Here we go.
Okay, sidetrack. Yeah. I want a word now. You can get...
Okay, let's go. Let's go with...
I can't. can't come up with a word?
I can't. How about email? Oh. Is that stupid enough?
Email.
Can you tell us a story about email and email?
I can tell a story about an email.
Okay, let's hear it.
Oh, I got to keep it PG though. So,
sorry, folks. I did say a bad word in this last one.
Probably the last word you'll say if you're in an accident. I'm just saying. It's true.
That's true.
So years ago, I was I went to work for my husband's company, and he had just got moved in as one of the owners of the company. It was a moving company, and I worked claims for them. And so I decided that, you know, I just like romance. And so I decided to send Steve a little romantic email. And so I just put in the email what was going to happen when he got home. And I was pretty explicit. And I send it. And maybe 30 minutes later, I was downstairs in the break room. And the vice president came up to me and put his arm around me and said, "Hey, just want you to know that Steve's one damn lucky guy." I'm like, "What?" He goes, "I'm no. Steve one. He's no. Steve two."
No.
Yeah. I was so embarrassed. I was like, "What do you say back?" I didn't know what to say. And then every time I saw him after that, he'd just always wave and be all happy.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was really bad. That was really, really bad. So folks, when you send an email, make sure you double check. It's like a text. You make sure you're sending something probably not RX rated.
I kind of want to interview this Steve now. I kind of want to know the thought process there. So was he terrible. Was your boss?
Yeah. I mean, he was one of the bosses. Yeah. And they had just got this new, I mean, we were young. Steve and I were pretty young, and they had brought him in from, the shop, the mechanic shop, and had him as one of their owners. the new Steve too. Have you ever done something like that? Gosh. Like, have you ever sent a text or an email?
Oh, I have. And I've hate. Oh, yes.
And you just die.
I have. Oh. Yes.
I wonder if any of our viewers have. If you have, send us a
We want to hear a story. Yeah, we want to hear a story.
Yes, we do. We want to hear your story.
What we need to do is the most embarrassing moments.
Okay.
We need to do the most embarrassing moments. Yes,
because my life is like daily. So is yours.
Yeah, you. I think you would win, though.
Because I don't know.
I'm just trying to think how to even top that.
Oh, you could top it. I bet you could top it. You have great stories.
Oh, that's awesome. God. Classic.
Anyway, yeah, that was pretty bad. Real bad.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay, my turn. Word for you.
Nice and easy. Yeah, let's stay away from
Well, poop. Let's stay with a shortage of what we had last year at this time. Toilet paper.
Okay. All right. Toilet paper.
Such a weird thing to be short of. All those hoarders.
For real. I mean, honestly, for real.
Yeah.
You could not buy a sheet of toilet paper in this valley for
a while. Yeah, it was nuts.
What is that?
I'm glad that we had a bunch because it was crazy.
Well, thank heavens to my wife. I mean, she keeps a little bit on hand. I mean, she's not a hoarder or anything, but we always have an extra case there.
Yeah.
I mean, had you not? I mean, that's kind of a scary situation.
Yeah. Now there's a big push and sell for bidets.
Oh, I can only imagine.
I mean, because we even talked about that. We're like, well, maybe we just need to hose ourselves down.
Well, that's honestly, that was your next best thing. I mean,
yeah,
go out and use the garden hose.
Yeah.
Not now. Now you just go out and sit around and have the kids pull you around on the snowmobile.
With your pants off.
Okay, I got to think of a toilet paper story.
Toilet paper.
You know, I have one, but I don't know if I want to share it.
You have to. I just told the email story.
No. It's not for me. It's for my brother. So
the one you scared?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
My brother.
Poor
that
Justin,
I,
right?
Justin.
See? I feel like I know him.
Poor Justin.
Yes.
Is going to get slaughtered today.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This story, it's one of those that it just sticks with me. And no matter what, it's always there. Like if you ask like the top five stories of my life, this is going to be one of them.
Really?
It has to be. Yeah.
Okay. I'm so excited. Sorry, Justin. Hopefully you don't listen to this.
So sorry, Justin. She asked it. She said toilet paper. All right. So growing up, we had a family friend who would always take my brothers and I hunting in mm-hmm. the fall.
Oh, cool.
So my dad was always on the road, bless his heart. He just was never around. So this guy had kids that was in similar ages to us. And so he would always say, hey, just come with me and my boys.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we loved it. We looked forward to it every year. It was like our favorite thing. We'd go out and stay on the mountain for like 5-6 days.
Oh, wow.
And just have a good time. Uh-huh. We just loved it.
So we had boys or kids your age.
Okay. Yep. Yep. Three boys, and they were exactly the same age basically as me and Justin and my brother Shane. So anyway, so we're sitting there one day and we're out just playing and come back and we're sitting around the campfire and Justin leaves for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even tell this with a straight face because it's just still mind-boggling to me. But anyway, so we're sitting there around the campfire and we're just having a great old time shooting the bull, just laughing and just everything that we normally do. And all of a sudden, here comes Justin coming back through the woods, just skipping and dancing. And he comes up to the campfire and just throws this big wad of poopy toilet paper in the campfire. In the campfire. We all just freak out. And we're just scrambling to get the heck away from this fire that's now burning fumes of Justin. And we're like, what the? I mean, we're all just sitting there, what the heck? And he's looking at us like, what do you mean? What's wrong with that? And I'm like, what? What are you doing? Anyway, he didn't want to litter.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, well, Justin, what have you done? You know, I mean, because this time we were old enough to know the difference.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've always done it. I've always just put it in the fire.
What?
For all these years, he's been doing it, and we had no idea.
Oh, my gosh.
So
that is
Justin
so funny.
Was educated that day that it's okay to dig a hole and bury it.
Biodegradable.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't need to be bringing it into camp and burning
it.
No.
That's...
Especially if we're cooking hot dogs or marshmallows.
Oh, yeah. That ring of fire is... Oh, that is so gross.
Justin.
Man, that is so funny. Yeah, but you don't want to, like if you go to Jackson Lake, you don't want to do it close to the water source. You got to kind of go up there a ways.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's not contaminate.
Yeah.
Even though I don't think that you or I will contaminate Jackson Lake.
Because you think the fish are.
There are 30-pound lake trout in there that are just all over the lake. I'm seriously. I mean, every time you jump in and you like come up and spit water out of your mouth,
mm-hmm.
there's got to be like three fish turds.
Probably. Yeah. And then the bear swim in there.
Oh, yeah.
So they're...
Oh, yeah. And the elk and the deer.
I can't believe we're talking about
the forest rangers.
All
the guys that are out there on their boat that... can't come into shore, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just mixed in there.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
They're crustaceans, the snails, the squirrels.
Yeah.
The pigeons that are flying over it. It's like
poor
big
Justin.
Sewer pond. I know.
Oh,
poor
no.
Justin. Sorry, Just.
That's a funny
story.
She
asked the story. I had to tell it.
You did. You had to tell it.
All right. Back
to
MJ.
Let's
just do one
more.
Let's do one more.
And then you're going to get one more, too.
No, I can't.
You got it.
I'm done for the day.
Nope, you're not.
I am. So let's say, let's change things completely, and let's go for the word of thankfulness. Thankfulness.
Thankfulness.
Grateful. Thankful. Grateful.
All right. This is kind of weird, but so several years ago, my husband's parents went on a service mission to India. My father-in-law was teaching computers, and my mother-in-law literally bought one of those pedal sewing machines in India and sewed the pants butts to the orphans because they sit on the ground. And so that it
she sewed the pants butts to the orphans. Wait, I said that wrong. Is that so they wouldn't come off?
The butts of the pants. The butts of the pants for the kids because they would wear them out. So she'd go get
fabric. Oh, okay. So she sewed the butts. She just patched the rear end of the pants. She wouldn't actually sew them to the orphans.
Right. And her luggage, by the way, didn't come for 9 months. They were in there 9 months before she got her bags. They'd been around the world. But prior to them leaving, we had Thanksgiving. And let's face it, I'm an okay cook. Steve's much better than me. I mean, I'm okay. And baking, just not my thing. I admire so many people that can do it. So I said, I was kind of offended because every time I just was asked to do the relish tray. And I said, how about I do the pies? Mind you, I've never made a pie in my life before that.
That's pretty daring, MJ.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
So I was doing several things that day that I was making the pies. And so I wasn't paying much attention. And but I made these four beautiful pies, even from scratch, even the crust. That was just four beautiful pies. And so we went to my mother-in-law's for dinner with the family. And people were just so impressed with my pies. They're like, oh, those are beautiful pies. I'm like, thank you. Thank you. And so then my mother-in-law asked Steve to go get the turkey. And we'd make the gravy. Well, she cooked it in one of those bags that people sometimes cook in, the bags. And Steve was carrying it. I'm not sure why, but if you were holding a cooked all day turkey in a bag, the heat is going to go. Well, the turkey dropped to the floor from his height, exploded, deboned it beautifully. All the juice for the gravy was gone. And so we laughed and we laughed and we laughed about, you know, at least we got the turkey, et cetera. So then the event of the day is, of course, the pie, you know. So my cute little nephew, Jordan, who is just a cutie, he takes one bite because he's the first to taste it with the whipped cream. And he's like, this is so... And he spits it out, and other people take little pieces, little bites, and they're like, what did you do? And I'm like, I don't know. I just put like the ingredients, and I put, well, what I had done, what should have been sugar, I did salt. And what should have been salt should be sugar.
No.
We couldn't even get the dogs to eat the pie.
No.
It was that bad. Yeah. So since then, I've continued the tradition of bringing the relish tray. But I do know how to make pies now.
When you were making the pie,
I was busy with other things.
Salt. Were you thinking, this is going to taste good?
No.
Did that not cross your mind?
No, I don't like pie. And so I never have made it. I don't. I know. It's weird. But I just don't care for pie. And so
that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, whatever.
Weird.
You have to do another story.
Weirdo.
Would you please do one more story?
I'll say a word and I'll tell you if we're going to finish the story.
Say a word? Okay.
You say a word.
How about?
And I'll tell you if I'm going to tell
the daisy. Oops, your daisy. I love that word. Oops, a daisy. That's what happened with my pie. Oops, a daisy.
Oops, a daisy.
Oops, a daisy.
Okay.
Oops, your daisy.
All right. Here's a good story about oops. I don't know about your daisy, but I got an oops story. So back in the Branson era, back when I was in high school, I was playing bass for the Osmond Family Theater.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It was amazing because at a young age, I was introduced to professional music and musicians at that early age. And so it was like the time of my life because I would leave high school and go strap on a bass and do a show at 3 o'clock and another one at 8 o'clock. And I was learning so much at that time. But anyway, my very first time, I remember asking my dad, I think I was 15, maybe 16. I don't remember. But anyway, I would ask him, am I good enough to play in the show yet? And he would come in, no, you're not.
Oh.
Yep, very honest. When it comes to show business, it's It's you're either perfect or you're not.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. So, I mean, and I appreciate it. Looking back now, I really appreciate that because I would practice 2, 3, 4 hours a day. I remember putting tape on my fingers because they were all blistered.
Oh, wow.
And just to keep practicing, you know. So anyway, the time came and I don't remember where the bass player was going, but they were, Witt was doing something, who was their bass player, and I had the opportunity, and my dad's like, all right, Travis, you're in.
Oh, nice.
You're in.
Uh-huh.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So I remember before the show, I was just so elated.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I mean, I was like one of the guys now, you know.
Yeah, and you were 16.
I was 16.
Wow.
I might have even been 15.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, I remember they dressed us all in black, and we're in the back, and there was one part of the show where each band member took about a 16-bar solo. Okay, so we were halfway done. We got to intermission, and I felt like I was doing fine, you know, and got to intermission. But, of course, it's all business. There's none of this. It's very professional. Uh-huh. You don't come off stage and go, that, you know. Uh-huh. My dad is all business.
Oh, boy.
So, anyway, come back in for the second half, and we started the song. And the song was, even cowboys like a little bit of rock and roll. Mm-hmm. Nah, nah, nah. And then it was, and we got so-and-so on the drums, and so-and-so on the keyboards, and Mike McAdoo on the guitar, and folks, my son, Travis, on the bass. And when he said that, my main brain just went,
oh no.
Totally forgot.
Oh no.
My solo.
Oh no.
So you know what it sounded like? You hear this, the drummer's hi-hat just going,
no. Crickets.
Dead silence. And my dad's looking at me, and I'm looking into his eyes, and he's pointing right at me. And he's without even a beat, and we got Jay Lawrence.
Oh, no.
Yeah, on the saxophone. Anyway, and then I kicked right back in.
Oh, wow.
And we finished the song, finished the show.
Oh.
And I was scared to death.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about a whoops.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
In front of, I don't know. 2,000, 2,500 people, maybe. I don't remember. The theater wasn't huge, but so anyway, we go back. I unplug, and all the band members were like, "Dude, sweet solo," you know. But they were very nice.
Yeah.
Oh, super nice. You know, they had all been there. Everybody makes mistakes, sure. You know. But you don't make mistake with your dad on the first night.
Oh no.
You know. So anyway, I walk back there and I get undressed. And I am just, I'm sick, I'm nauseous as I walk towards my dad's dressing room. And of course, my dad's in there with all of his brothers, you know.
Yeah.
So Uncle Alan, Uncle Jay, and Uncle Wayne, and Uncle Jimmy are all in this dressing room. Mm-hmm. And so I walk in there, and nobody even looks at me. It's like, they didn't look at me, not because they were mad, but it was just like no big deal to them, right?
Uh-huh.
But I look at my dad, and he looks, locks eyes at me.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, come here, son, let me talk to you for a minute. So I'm expecting this horrible thing. We walk outside and he puts his hand on my neck. That could mean either you're dead or I love you, you know? We walk outside and he says, hey, you need to understand something. You did really good tonight. And if I had a nickel for every time I'd screwed up, I'd be a millionaire. And it was just, he gave me a big hug. And it was just so wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, and the next night I nailed it perfect.
Nice.
And I never, ever skipped a beat just because of that.
Yeah.
What a neat opportunity and experience that
was,
huh?
What a great learning experience for sure you learned. And
he was a true professional, you know, and I was trying everything I could do to live up to his life, you know, and his standards, and I didn't. Right. I fell way short.
Oh.
But he didn't even care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How neat is that?
That's really neat. I love that story. Yeah. That's a great one.
That's a good story.
Who would have thought that on Oops-a-Daisy?
Who'd have thunk?
Who'd have thunk? Well,
what a wonderful podcast this has been, all my friends and neighbors and everybody else listening out there. We are grateful for all of your support, all that you do for us. And
we're very grateful for our sponsors.
We really are grateful for our sponsors.
Yep.
Aren't we?
We are. We're grateful for SVI that they let us come in and just have some good times.
Yep. I'm just going to finish this peaches and cream here, and we'll get on out of here.
All right.
Anyway, everyone, this is Why Your Story, coming to you from the beautiful home of SVI Media. I am your host, Travis Osmond.
I am your host, Mary Jo Parker. We'd love to hear your stories.
We would love to hear your stories. Please email us. Get back to us. Let us know what you have to tell.
That's right.
And you might be our next guest.
Ooh.
Take care, everybody. Be safe out there.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.